Be seated. Be seated. Amen. Well, we're in a new series, and the series is called Sacrifice and Offering. Now, just calm down. It's not going to be about money. I don't even know if I'll mention money in the whole thing, but I might, and if I do, it's not to get your money. It's far more than that that we're after, okay? And today, I'll be explaining a little bit more as to what we want to accomplish through this series in our own lives, but what I want to talk about today is titled A Disrespectful Offering. Disrespectful Offering. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go right in there and I'm going to read some Word of God to us, and then I'm going to talk about this, and then through the process of it, I'll explain kind of what we want to accomplish in this. So okay. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And it says there, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep." Now, that was his occupation. He was a shepherd. He was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. That was his occupation. He was a farmer. And in process of time, now, they're about to go and worship the Lord, but they're not going to worship the Lord because of sin, just like you did today. You, in a process of time, you come and you worship the Lord. And this is the picture that it's painting to us. It's not that they're going to sacrifice for sin, but they're going in a process of time just to worship the Lord. And in a process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Would you say that word "and" back? And. What is "and"? What kind of? It's a conjunction. It connects the word before it with the word after it, right? So we're cooking together here, Abel and his offering, okay? And to Abel and his offering, and to his offering, but unto Cain, and, would you say "and" again? And to his offering, he had not respect. I want you to notice real quickly that, and I'm going to talk much more about it later on, but there's a definite connection between the person and the offering. Now, how many of you have ever read this passage before? You've read it, haven't you, about Cain and Abel? Well, don't you feel sorry for Abel? I mean, the poor thing. I mean, he brought something. He brought his offering to the Lord. He did the same thing that Abel did he not? I mean, he brought from his occupation, just like Abel brought from his occupation. That's what you and I do. You and I do the same thing. I'm a preacher. And so what I bring to the Lord for an offering and sacrifice is from what I do, right? And now you may do something different, and most of you do. But you bring to the Lord your offering and sacrifice from what you do, right? I mean, what did the Lord expect Abel to do here? Go and borrow a lamb from Abel? Is that what he thought he should do? If he did that, then it wouldn't be from him, from his life, right? I mean, I think the Lord's a little out of line here. I think he's extremely ungrateful. And I think he should be thankful that Cain offered something. What do you think? I mean, don't you think so? I mean, who's God think he is? I mean, that's the way it is. You know, at least he brought something and he gave something to the Lord. You know, Peter says that God is no respecter of persons, but that's not what this verse says. Am I right? He respected one, but he didn't respect the other. I mean, who does he think he is? I was invited to come and do a devotional at Paula's school up at Rock Spring, and I was doing a little bit of this with them, and so I asked that question resoundingly. You know what they said when I asked them, who did God think he was? He's God. I think you all kind of know where I'm going with this, don't you? And over the next couple of weeks, what we're going to be talking about is offering and sacrifice. You know, I think it's important to that if we're going to get up on Sunday morning and get ourselves dressed and fuss with the spouse and wrestle with the children and get the babies out in the rain and the cold. And I think that if we're going to do it, don't you think that we ought to do it the way it's supposed to be done? Don't you think we need to understand what we're doing and not just go through the motions, maybe like Cain did? Don't you want God to respect your offering and respect you? So this is what we're going to be talking about. And I know, you know, you're saying, you know, he don't be talking about money. Somebody's already said, yeah, you just taught two lessons on inviting people to church, and we're going to invite people to church, and they're going to come, and you're going to start talking about money. No, that's not it at all. That's not what I'm after. And God's not after your money. I want to make a point of that. See, we even say when we receive the giving that we're going to receive the what? Offering. What I want you to try to do for me is to somehow sever or separate or distance that thought, because the offering is just a small part, the giving, the money is just a small part of the offering that we're supposed to be giving to the Lord. And so I want you to separate that sometimes. You know, it's interesting to me that all the way through the Scripture that what God does in an individual's life, all the way through Scripture, is somehow linked to their offering. It directs the course of our lives. How we offer directs our life. And we'll be seeing that a little bit more today. So I want us all to understand offering a little bit more. And again, we're not after your money. What God's after is you. He's really after your heart. That's what it's really about. So, here we go. We all understand that God encourages a day to worship. He encourages us to worship Him on the first day of the week. He wants us to come together. Jesus was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. Am I right? And so it's kind of a first fruit deal that we come together as a first fruit offering to the Lord. That's sort of what we're doing right now, is that we come as a first day of the week and we kind of offer that to Him. But also Jesus visited the disciples before He ascended the first day of the week many times. And Paul encourages the believers in the churches to gather together on the first day of the week. And so we understand that the Lord encourages a day to worship. But how many of us realize that the Lord also encourages a way to worship? See, if we learn anything from the story of Cain and Abel, we should learn that we just can't worship Him any old way we want to. We can't worship Him with any old thing we want to. It has to be done in a way that He wants it done. There's a correct way. Much of the Bible is about offering and sacrifices. If you've read any of your Bible, you've ran into that. Right off the bat, in Genesis chapter 4, right off the bat, you know, we run into it, and it runs all the way through the Bible. And so much is written there about offering and sacrifices, and all of it is about the way to worship the Lord. It's interesting in the book of Jude that Jude, it's just one chapter, but he is there rebuking people that wanted to do church their own way. And these guys had come into the church, these people were in the church, church members, church people, but they didn't want to give respect. They didn't want to do it God's way. And they wanted to do it the way they wanted to. This is bad. Let me read you a verse here from Jude chapter 1. And it's verses 10 and 11. So it's actually two verses. So let me read this to you. Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. And what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, do things by instinct. These are the very things that destroy them. People in church have things that destroy them. Woe to them. They have taken the way of whom? Of Cain. They've taken the way of Cain. What the verse is saying is that people, even in church, want to do things their way, and what that doing those things their way destroy their lives and takes them the way that Cain's life went. How was the way of Cain? What is the way of Cain? Why did Jude choose Cain as the example here? What is there? What was it about Cain that Jude was after and trying to tell people? Well, see, what it is that Cain's whole life went awry because of the way he did his offering and sacrifice. That was the first thing. That was the point that the scriptures show us that began his going the wrong way, because he was doing offering and sacrifices his way. Now, if you've got your notes, I'm not going to read all of this. It's so many verses. I wanted to take you to Genesis chapter 4 and read you verses 5 through 16, which tell us and explain to us the way that Cain's life went. But you remember the story. It was bad. Let me relate to you, because it all links back to the offering. It all began as his offering was given and it was not respected by the Lord. That took him away because he wasn't doing it the correct way. Cain's life, first of all, the Bible says that he was very wroth. He was very angry. Do you know that a lot of times anger management is related back to the way we do offering and sacrifices? He says he was very wroth and his countenance fell. He was a sad person. He had a sad life, and it relates back to the way he did his offering and sacrifice. The Bible says there, he says, the Lord speaking to Cain says, Cain, if you do it right, won't you be accepted? If you do it well, you'll be accepted. But if you don't do it well, then sin lieth at the door and it's waiting on you. And it desires to have you. And it says his desire is to have you. Sin has a personality, and we're going to talk about that in one of our lessons. But our sin in our life, sin in our door, our falling and getting into sin relates back to the way we do offering and sacrifice. And the Lord goes through this, and he starts telling Cain, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? And what happened is Cain had killed his brother. He murdered, and it relates back to the way he did offering and sacrifice. Now, I know that we haven't killed people, literally. I hope not. But how many of us have sliced people up with our tongues and destroyed them, if we could, because they made us mad? And you see, those kinds of things relate back to the way we do offering and sacrifice. And the Lord told him, said, Cain, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to leave from my presence, and the earth is going to curse you. You'll be cursed from the earth. The earth cursed him. In other words, even things in the natural wasn't working out for Cain. You know, I see people all the time in what I get to do. You know, I see people all the time. They seem like they can't catch a break. They seem like everything goes wrong for them. Even the things that should go right, like the natural things of life, don't work out for them. He says, you know, you're going to be driven from my presence. Can you imagine living your life and not being able to experience the presence of the Lord? And all this relates back to offering and sacrifice. He says, you know what? He says, you're going to be a vagabond. These people that don't do offering and sacrifice correctly, they never find their roots. They never get rooted down. They seem like they never have any structure in their life. They never have a foundation. They're always bouncing around job to job, family to family. Their life's always just a kind of a vagabond life. And it all relates back to how we do offering and sacrifice. He says, you're going to have a mark for the rest of your life. And Cain was marked for the rest of his life and never experienced the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says that he went and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. You know, I watch lives, and I watch them that have gone the way of Cain. And it all relates back to how they did their offering and sacrifice. What I want us to see is that the way we do offering and sacrifice directs the way our lives go. Your life is directly related to your offering and sacrifice. It was Abel and his sacrifice. It was Cain and his sacrifice. And the way of Cain, the way Cain went, was directly related to his sacrifice. See, the way our lives go so many times is directly related to that. But you know, all of that's true. The bottom line is Cain had a horrible life. But here's the worst part. It wasn't just Cain. His lineage after him went the way of Cain.
Am I right? Remember, the Cain's lineage went one way, and there was another child born named Seth, and that became the lineage of God. But all of Cain's lineage was destroyed in the flood. All of it. And it all relates back to how we do offering and sacrifice. I watch people, they don't understand why their families are a mess, why their lives are a mess, why there's always this flood going on in their lives, why their children seem distant from the Lord, even their grandchildren get going off on the wrong way. You see, it all goes back to Cain's offering and sacrifice. Your offering and sacrifice determines way, way more than just coming in here and putting something in an offering plate on Sunday morning. The way of Cain. How you do and how you feel about offering and sacrifice determines how your life goes. I feel like so many Christians are like Cain. They're living east of Eden in the land of Nod. They're close to Eden. They could have it, but they just won't let the Lord give them instructions about offering and sacrifice. Instead, they get mad. So how do you do? How do you do with your offering and sacrifice? You see, Cain's situation directly linked back to his offering and sacrifice. Could some things in your life be linked to how you do offering and sacrifice? So what was the deal with Cain's offering? I mean, why did the Lord not respect, that's what the King James Version says, Cain's offering. And the NIV Bible says favor. He didn't favor Cain's offering. And the New Living Translation says he didn't accept Cain's offering. Why was this? What's the thing? You know, and I'm a preacher and I study the Bible every day. And so, you know, I'm researching and looking, and you've heard all this all of your lives. And so what? There's two basic conclusions that theologians have come to. And I don't agree with either one of them. The first conclusion is that it wasn't a blood offering. That Abel's was a blood offering. He was the firstlings of the flock, and so he brought, and he was a blood offering. But they weren't coming for sin. And see, blood was only required if you had sin and you wanted to do sin. They weren't coming. It was in the process of time. They were just got up just like you did this morning, and they were going to worship the Lord. And this is just their offering. It wasn't for sin. It was just to worship the Lord. So the first thing that they say is it wasn't a blood offering. Well, a grain offering worked well in the book of Leviticus, just to worship the Lord. So I don't agree with it. And neither do I agree with it was the firstlings of the flock offering. I mean, we don't know that it wasn't Cain's firstling of his crop as well. We don't know that. But what was it then, Delbert? If you're so smart, then what was it? It's not what I think it is. What does the Bible tell us that it is? Amen? See, we don't want to know what Delbert thinks. What? We don't want to know what does the Bible tell us was the reason. So let me show you. How many want to see? Want to see? Let me show it to you. It's in the book of Hebrews. It's in chapter 11, and it's in verse 4. It says, here it is. By faith, would you say that back to me, by faith? By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, would you say it again? By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks even though he's dead. The difference between Cain's offering and Abel's offering was faith. It was faith. What does that mean? It means that Abel had faith in his offering. He knew that when he offered it to God, it was going to please God. He had faith in it. He knew he was doing it the way God wanted it done. He knew he was giving him an offering the way through faith. And he knew that it was going to please the Lord. Let me read you just along those lines in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, two verses down from the verse I just read you. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many of us are confident in your offering to the Lord? You know that you're doing it right. You know that when you offer it, it's going to please Him. You have that kind of faith. You believe in your offering. That's what Abel did. Abel believed that when he offered his offering to the Lord, it was going to please the Lord. Do you feel that way? And not just talking financially. What about, let's use time. Do you feel like you give time to the Lord and it pleases Him? For example, how much time have you spent this week in prayer? If you haven't spent any time in prayer, then there's no way you're going to have faith in your offering. How much time have you read the Word? How much time have you spent? See, these are sweet-smelling sacrifices to God. When we read the Word of God, it takes time. It's a sacrifice, is it not, to take time and pray? It's a sacrifice to take time and read the Word. It's a sacrifice to do these things. But these are so sweet-smelling to the Lord. And it takes you away from the way of Cain. It was sweet-smelling to the Lord this morning when you got up out of bed, you got dressed, you got those kids dressed, even though you were fussing and fighting with the spouse all the way here, fighting with the kids all week long. I'm telling you, you're doing that as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to the Lord. You can have faith in that. But if you don't come, hello? It's a disrespectful offering. You did what? You did it your way. Hello? Is this okay? You see, all of life is directed by how we offer and sacrifice to the Lord. Let me show you a couple of things here. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says this, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise. A what? A sacrifice of praise. The fruit, kind of what Cain offered, but it was acceptable. This is acceptable because we're doing it His way. A fruit of lips that confess His name. Now, how many of you know that for some of you this morning, it was a sacrifice to praise God? You've been through it this week. It was tough to just get here and then to lift your hands and clap and worship Him and give Him a sacrifice of praise out of your lips. That's tough. But that was a sacrifice and an offering that you can have faith in. And what that's going to do to your life is it's going to break off those things that are binding you. It's going to help you overcome those things that are trying to bring you down in life. It's going to cut you free. That's what praise does. And it becomes a sacrifice. And you got free from something when you began to praise the Lord today. But if you don't praise Him, or if you praise Him your way, it is a disrespectful offering. I got a lot of amens on that one, didn't I? Let me read you some more. See, our offering and our sacrifices direct the way our lives go all the way through life. It affects our whole lives. Let me show you this in Hebrews 13, 16. It says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." You know, we don't think about it that way. We don't think that just doing good is a sacrifice. Well, let me throw something at you. Somebody has just cussed you out. I mean, they have let you, they're yelling at you. They're using every word in and out of the vocabulary. They are really letting you have it. And Jesus said to return good for evil, right? Is it a sacrifice to do good? It's a sacrifice when people talk about you and not to want to retaliate. It's a sacrifice for me when somebody pulls out in front of me and... Sacrifice to do good. It is. And he says, to share. Some Christians are so stingy. They are. But when you share, You know, when people come home from the hospital or maybe they had a death in their family and people get them food and take it, that's a sweet-smelling sacrifice to the Lord. But if you retaliate and you get mad because somebody flipped you off, are you get upset because, you know, you get mad and angry like Cain did, and you, that's a disrespectful offering. Or you won't share, you're stingy. That's a disrespectful offering. And it's going to take you the way of Cain. It will work bad in your life and not good. See, the way we do offering and sacrifice so directs the course of our lives. Now, I want to close. I'm not closing yet, so don't get excited, but I'm working on it. I want to close our lesson by looking once again at that passage that we read earlier in Genesis 4:4-7 about Cain and Abel. But what I want to do this time is I want to read it from the NIV version, a more modern translation, so that we can get something, because I really want to hammer a point home as we close. In Genesis 4:4-7, it says this: "But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering." I need you to say Abel and his offering. On Abel and his offering. "But on Cain and his offering," say that, "Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor." I'm not going to read the rest of it, so you can take it down. What I wanted you to see there was the Lord directly connects us with our offering. Abel and his offering, Cain and his offering. They both got the same response from the Lord. It wasn't just the offering that didn't get respect. It was Cain and his offering. It wasn't just the offering that got respect or got favor from the Lord when Abel gave it. It was Abel and his offering. There is a dramatic, direct link between you and your offering. In the Old Testament, at the tabernacle or at the temple in the old covenant, when they would bring a sacrifice to the Lord, and not just a sin offering, but whether they were bringing a sacrifice like a burnt offering or something, just a fellowship offering and these kinds of things, what they would do is they would bring the let's say a bullock, a year-old bull. They would bring this calf to the temple or to the tabernacle, and they would lay their hand on it. They would connect with it. If it were a sin offering, then they would confess the sins over it. But if it was just a burnt offering, they would just come and lay their hand on it and connect to it. Let me read you this passage in Leviticus 1, verses 2 through 5. It says, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord," just an offering, it's not a sin offering, it's just like you come today to church, you bring an offering to the Lord, "bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock, a cow or a bull or a sheep or a goat. If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he is to offer a male without defect. He must present it at the entrance of the tent of meeting," he must, "so that it will be accepted." In other words, this is the way to do it. "So it will be accepted to the Lord. He is to lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering." Now look at this. "And it will be accepted on his behalf." It was accepted on his behalf when he did what? When he connected with it. When he laid his hand on it to make atonement for him. He is to slaughter it, slaughter the young bull before the Lord. What a dramatic picture. He laid his hand on it. He connected with this offering, and then he slayed it and presented it to the Lord. It's a picture of him becoming the sacrifice. See, when you give a sacrifice, you become the sacrifice and the offering. It's a picture of a person becoming the offering and the sacrifice themselves. My point is that when we give an offering It's not the money, it's you and the money. Or an offering of time, it's not time, it's you and the time. Or an offering of praise, it's not you and praise. And you become what you're offering. It's you that is actually being offered. This is how it works in the spirit dimension. For example, when I come in here and I give him a sacrifice of praise, I become praise. To the Lord, I am now praise. Well, look at praise down there. What do I become if I do good? I become good. Well, look at good. Do you see what I'm saying? You become the offering. It's a picture of you. It's a picture of your heart. It's a picture of who I am and what I really am. When I offer to him sacrifice of praise, then it's a picture of my heart praising God. When I do good, it's a picture of my heart wanting and desiring to do good. When I share, when I'm not selfish and I'm not stingy, when I'm sharing, it's a picture of my heart being wanting not to be selfish, but wanting to help people and minister to people and love people. It's a picture of what and who I am. It's a picture of my heart. So when you offer and sacrifice to the Lord, it's not just your offering or your sacrifice. It's you. It's you. Now, I don't know what that does to you, but when I saw that, I wanted to upgrade my offering and sacrifice. Because if it's me, then I want to give God the best me I can give him. How about you? I don't want to give him a lame Delbert. Come on, right? I want it to be the best that I can give him because I want him to respect it. I want him to accept it. I want him to favor it. And I know that if he does, then if I'm seeking him, then he's going to reward me. And things are going to go well in my life. And I am not going the way of Cain, but I'm going the way to avoid that flood. Hallelujah. But when you offer to the Lord, it's you and your offering. You offer it to what you are. I want him to have the best me. I want to give him a respectable one. I don't want to give him a disrespectable offering, Cain. Let me close it with this verse. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. See, the point is you become the offering and sacrifice. Your offering becomes a dramatic picture of you, of your heart. So how is your offering and sacrifice? How does it look? What is the picture you bring to the Lord? See, offering and sacrifice is far more than money. It's you. Offering and sacrifice link the type of life you experience. Your life, good or bad, is linked to how you offer and sacrifice. Cain's was. Offering and sacrifice must be given in faith. You got to believe that it's going to work. You got to believe that it's going to work because you're doing it His way and not your way. It's given in faith. Offering and sacrifice is a picture of you and a picture of your heart. You are an offering and a sacrifice. And say this and we're done. Here at LifeGate Church, we've got some beautiful offering and sacrifices. Some of you give so much, not just financially. You give of your time. You give prayer. You minister to people all the time. You're taking food to people. You're visiting them in the hospitals. You're so wonderful, so beautiful. You are such a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice to the Lord. And I really wanted to tell you that for the Lord today. You are something special. And you can have faith in your offering. It is respectable, and the Lord does accept it. Stand with me.